ونستعين ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون In the name of Allah, most gracious and most merciful, all praise and all thanks belongs to Allah. We praise Him, we thank Him, we seek His help, and we ask for His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the weakness of our own selves and from our wrong doings. Know that whomsoever Allah guides can never be misguided, and whomsoever Allah allows to be led astray, none can guide. I bear witness that there is absolutely nothing worthy of worship except Allah alone, without partner nor associate. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Almighty God Allah be upon him, is Allah's servant and Allah's messenger. We ask Allah, most glorified and exalted, to shower His peace, His blessing, His benediction upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad, upon his family, upon his companions, and upon the righteous everywhere. And may we all here today, brothers and sisters, be among those who earn the pleasure of Allah by always calling to the Sunnah, by always calling to the way of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam until we visit the grave. Allahumma ameen. Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, O you who claim faith, establish taqwa. Be conscious of Allah. Be aware of Allah. Be mindful of Allah. Fear Allah outwardly and inwardly. Fear Allah concerning that which He has ordered, and fear Allah concerning that which He has prohibited. Fear Allah, be conscious of Allah, be aware of Allah, and do not die except as one who submits, who surrenders, who is in a state of peace, who is in a state of wholehearted self-giving to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Do not die except as Muslims. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us all to die with our tongues moist with words of faith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us all to die with our tongues moist with La ilaha illallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us all to die as Muslims. Allahumma ameen. My dear brothers and sisters, we are gathered here today on a blessed Friday, a week removed from the blessed month of Ramadan. And I'm very honored to be with all of my brothers and sisters to represent a program that has been established at the University of Toronto and now at Ryerson University to provide chaplaincy and pastoral care for Muslim students who have chosen to be students at these higher institutions of learning. But before I get to that, I wish to remind myself and you about a few things that have always been on my mind as a Muslim. When I came to Islam some years ago, I was very fascinated with the idea that Islam is the original religion. That Islam is the primordial faith that has been established as the faith by the one and only God, Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Islam is not named after a person, Islam is not named after a place, rather Islam is named after a particular relationship that you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I was fascinated as well with the idea that all of the prophets and all of the messengers, they taught Islam. They taught this primordial way of life. And I was fascinated as well with the idea that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, has sent a prophet or a messenger to every nation. And the traditions of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam number some 124,000 prophets and messengers. Some of the traditions say 224,000 prophets and messengers. And the natural question that we may ask is why? Although all of us are born with this natural inclination to know Allah, to know God. In fact, we are born upon what our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called fitrah. Fitrah. This natural inclination to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the question may naturally arise, at least for those of us who were learning about Islam, and those of us who are accustomed to asking why. Perhaps many of us come from cultures and societies where when it comes to religious truth, oft times we're not encouraged to ask why. Whereas in this part of the world, we ask why for everything. It can be incredibly dysfunctional at times, but it can be greatly beneficial because knowledge comes before faith. And there's no shyness when it comes to knowledge. So therefore, we have to encourage the asking why, because we live as numerical minorities in this part of the world, and many of our non-Muslim neighbors, friends and colleagues may ask us, why are you a Muslim? And if someone asks us, why are you a Muslim, we have to understand why, not I just happen to be born in a Muslim majority country. You want to give them something of substance that they can take with them and then consider their own place relative to Islam. So why? Allah most glorified and exalted, He answers this question for us in the Quran. Why all of the prophets and all of the messengers, why did He send them all to us, although we possess this primordial state, this primordial faith, this understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ لَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ وَلَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا أُولَئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, send some 124,000 prophets to humanity? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, we created for the hell. We created for the hell many jinn and men. They have hearts, but understand not with them. They have eyes, but see not with them. They have ears, but they hear not with them. They are like cattle. No, rather, they are further astray than cattle. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. Indeed, they are the heedless. They are the neglectful. They are the mindless. Why? 124,000 prophets, although we possess this aboriginal state of faith, of understanding. Why? Because we forget. As simple as that. We're forgetful. We're very negligent. We're not mindful of the blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. We're not mindful. We don't pay attention. In fact, every Friday we come to listen to the Khatib, and the Khatib generally will say the same thing. Generally. Generally, we visit lectures and the Khatib, the one who gives the lecture, says the same thing. Fear God. Remember God. Thank God. Why do we need these reminders? Because we forget. That's why. What is the purpose of our ibadah? What is the purpose of our worship? The purpose is that we do what? We remind ourselves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, the cure of ghafla is what? The cure of ghafla, forgetfulness, heedlessness, is dhikrullah. As simple as it may be. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira. O you who believe, remember Allah as much as you can. Remember Allah as much as you can. The beautiful thing about the remembrance of Allah, it acts as a shield for the believer. And you don't have to be a scholar of Islam. You don't have to be someone who has studied years in the madrasa or years in the Islamic university to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most simple man, the most simple woman may engage in this beautiful and lofty exercise. The remembrance of God. I was so fascinated when I came to Islam years ago that there's a dua for everything. Every moment of our life, every moment of our existence, there's a dua. A way to remember Allah, even in those moments that seem somewhat trivial or perhaps unimportant in the routine of everyday life. There's a dua when you wake up in the morning. There's a dua when you enter the washroom. There's a dua before you sit down to eat. There's even remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we greet our brother, when we greet our sister. We say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's not enough just to say hi. What's up? Are you going? That kind of thing. No. We have more than that. We're in Jamaica, Wagwan. No, no, no. That may be nice and folksy. And those of us in the Caribbean, we feel it. But alhamdulillah, in Islamic languages, we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even when we greet our brother, when we greet our sister. Imagine there's even a dua before a husband and wife become intimate with each other. During a time where perhaps it's very easy not to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the natural urges, the natural desire, but yet our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, he taught us even to remember Allah during that state of intimacy. When you see your reflection in the mirror, imagine there is dua. And the mirror is a source of incredible vanity for most of us. We spend more time in the mirror than perhaps we do engaging with our neighbors to make sure your clothes are laying right, your kufi's laying right, sisters, your khimar is matching your shoes or whatever the case may be. We spend so much time in the mirror, but our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught us, when you see your reflection in the mirror or you see your reflection in water, Allahumma anta hasanta khalqi fa hasin khuluqi. Oh Allah, as you have beautified my khalq, my outer image, beautify my khuluq, my inner image. Imagine that. Even when we see our reflection in the mirror, we're reminded that it's not about this, rather it's about this. Such is the power, the beauty, and the comprehensiveness of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the example of the one who remembers his Lord in comparison to the one who does not remember his Lord is that of a living creature compared to a dead one. A living creature compared to a dead one. When you forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is like you are dead. It's like you're dead. But when you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you come to life. You're resurrected. You're born again. You're born anew. Such is the beauty and the power of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a man years ago who was known for his piety. He was known for his righteousness. And he discovered that the people of his village had begun worshipping a tree. And as Muslims, we know that the only one worthy of worship alone is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this man, as an expression of his piety and his righteousness, he decided to chop down that tree. So he went and got his axe or his machete, his cutlass, and he went out to chop down the tree. And along the way he met a stranger, and this stranger asked him, "Where are you going?" And the pious man said, "I'm going to chop down this tree because my people have taken it as an idol of worship." So the stranger said, "I can't let you do that." The pious man said, "No, I have to chop down this tree. My people have taken it as an idol. I'm going to chop it down." The stranger said, "No, I can't let you do that." "Yes, no, yes, no." They start to beef back and forth until finally they start to fight. But the pious man subdues the stranger and is about to finish him off. And the stranger says, wait. Let's make a deal. So the pious man, giving everyone the benefit of the doubt, said, "What is your deal?" The stranger said, "The deal is I will give you silver coins every day for the rest of your life. Think of all the good that you can do with these silver coins. You can feed the poor, help the destitute, the needy. Think of all the good that you can do with these silver coins. I will give you these silver coins every day for the rest of your life. Just don't chop down that tree." So the pious man thought about it. He said, "It's a deal." They shook on it. He went back home, went to sleep, woke up the next morning, opened his door, silver coin. He took the silver coin, fed the poor, helped the destitute, the needy, etc. Went home, went to sleep, woke up, opened his door, silver coin. This went on and on and on for a very, very long time until finally he woke up one morning, opened his door, no silver coin. So what did he do? He went back to his shed to get his cutlass, to get his machete, and he went out to do what? To chop down the tree. So he goes out along the way. Who does he meet? The stranger. And the stranger says, "Where are you going?" Pious man says, No, none of that. I'm going to chop down this tree." Stranger said, "No, you're not going to do it." "Yes, I am." "No, yes, no." They start to fight again. They fight. But this time, what's different is that the stranger subdues the pious man. And the pious man calls out to the heavens and says, why is it yesterday I defeat you, but today you defeated me? And the stranger looked at him with contempt and said, because before you fought me remembering Allah, but today you fought me remembering the silver coins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plant our feet and plant our hearts firm in the soil of His remembrance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all on the straight path, the path of those whom He has blessed, and not the path of those who earn His anger, His curse, His vexation, nor those who go astray. Allahumma ameen. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. In the last few moments of our gathering, I want to introduce you to an organization called Muslim Chaplaincy of Toronto. I myself joined the team at Muslim Chaplaincy of Toronto in January. Before that time, I was a chaplain with the Correctional Service of Canada for some 12 years, working with Muslim offenders, Muslim inmates in the federal prison system. And without getting into too much detail, chaplaincy basically revolves around counseling, education, mentorship, and advocacy work on behalf of any given population in usually a secular environment. A chaplain is not necessarily an imam, and not every imam can necessarily be a chaplain. But the importance of this work revolves around a few things. That many of you are parents who have children in university. Many of you who are here may be entering university in the fall or the winter term. The greatest challenge that we have as Canadian Muslims revolves around identity. We all have multiple identities. And sometimes I'm asked the question, are you a Muslim first or are you a Canadian first? Well, I'm here to tell you it's a trick question. It's actually a trick question. It depends on your context. I myself am a Muslim, alhamdulillah. So when it comes to metaphysical truths, when it comes to life, when it comes to death, when it comes to prayer, fasting, all of these things, my hereafter, I'm a Muslim first. When it comes to my citizenship, I was born here in Canada. When it comes to politics, or as my father refers to it as politics, alhamdulillah, I may be a Canadian first because we share this social space with many different groups of people, and we have an interest to make sure that this space is safe, secure, and that we can prosper as a nation. As well, my mother and father are from Jamaica. So when it comes to my own personal culture, the food I eat, you know, I might be inclined, you know, to want some green banana and cassava dumpling and that kind of thing. That's our culture. But we all have this soup of personality that makes us the human beings that we are. What we are first depends on the context. Even the Quran, the Sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are made up of texts. We have scripture, we have texts. But the job of our scholars, the job of our ulama, is to help us understand context so that we can understand how to be faithful in any time and any place. So Muslim Chaplaincy of Toronto is an organization that is very concerned with making sure that Muslims can understand their context and leave their post-secondary experience with their faith intact, with their faith supported, with their faith nurtured, so that we can have complete human beings as a result of their post-secondary experience. So that we can make sure that the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala follows your children everywhere that they go. We have programs, halaqas. We work very closely with the Muslim Students Association at the various universities. So we are asking you most humbly and most respectfully, if you believe in this work, we ask you to donate generously, because indeed we shouldn't think that we are giving to Muslim Chaplaincy of Toronto, or in general, when we give charity, we shouldn't actually think that we're giving to an organization. Because we are not giving to an organization. Charity is a part of our tradition. Rather, we're giving through a particular organization. We are giving through a particular organization. And we have just left the blessed month of Ramadan, where the goal of cultivating taqwa, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, what is the purpose of fasting? So that we cultivate the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We were very charitable during this month. We learned a variety of lessons during the month of Ramadan, and among the lessons that we learned is that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to give, especially during the month of Ramadan, like the wind. And outside of Ramadan, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gained a reputation as one who used to give like someone who didn't fear poverty. He used to give like someone who did not fear poverty. So I ask you, my dear brothers and sisters, if you believe in the work that we are doing, I believe one of our brothers or one of our sisters has set up a table on the outside. I understand that the collection today will be in the name of Muslim Chaplaincy of Toronto. I ask you to give generously, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our children, to protect our families, and to help us all and plant our feet and our hearts firm in the soil of His remembrance, plant our feet and our hearts firm in the soil of thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make it easy for us to worship Him as He deserves. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all the best of this life, the best of the hereafter, and save us and liberate us from the punishment of the fire. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all. Indeed, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving and He loves to forgive, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this blessed time after the blessed month of Ramadan to forgive us all. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us all and to help us in all of our affairs. And indeed, those who are sick among our ummah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them all shifa. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless this masjid, to bless this institution. And O Allah, establish prosperity to this institution. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless its leaders, to bless its scholars, to bless its administration, and bless all of those who enter these doors. O Allah, we ask you to bless us through this action of attending and participating in this magnanimous project of the Islamic Institute of Toronto. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all knowledge that will benefit our children and benefit us all. Benefit us in this life and benefit us in the hereafter. And indeed, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower His peace, His blessing, His benediction upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, his family, his companions, and the righteous everywhere. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين أقيم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله
صلى الله عليه وسلم
حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله. Sisters and brothers, please straighten your lines shoulder to shoulder. May Allah accept our prayers. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين.